5, 4, 3, 2. So you are listening to Flowing with Famous, the All Fresno Podcast, all things Fresno Podcast, with me as always, with me, Famous Whitewater, as always. Is Mike C. Mike, how you doing today?
I am doing wonderful on this lovely podcast day.
It is great. I'm glad to be here podcasting with you. We missed a week or so.
Yeah, we missed a week.
That's just the way it happens.
Busy.
Yeah.
Josh has got three, four, five different things going on.
And sometimes it makes it hard to get down here and podcast.
I'd be interested to see what would happen if you ever have a kid.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Yeah, I'd be sad. Just kidding. I'd be heavy.
You hear that,
with
future
TV child.
Kid?
Someday my child is going to listen back on this podcast and go, yeah, I know.
Thanks,
you are.
Thanks, Pop.
So, but we're back and we're ready to talk about all sorts of lots of stuff. Probably more stuff has happened in the last little bit since we podcasted last than we'll be able to talk about. But there are some things that have happened
that we like to talk about.
Yeah.
We like to talk about Fresno music.
We love that.
Fresno media.
Love it.
Fresno news in general.
Yeah,
downtown. A little bit.
Politics.
Downtown.
We love politics. We love downtown
the most.
And I think we'll hit on all those tonight. So let's start it out.
I guess we got to start on Downer. Bring it down.
Is this a downer?
Yeah, the Kai,
homeless, home free hitchhiker, yeah, was arrested today.
The pseudo Fresnan.
Yeah, the pseudo Fresno celebrity.
Yeah.
Was arrested today, today being Thursday, for those who are listening to this in the future, for murder.
Allegedly.
Murder, yeah. Allegedly, yeah. Well, he was arrested for murder, I guess,
right,
whether
right.
he will be convicted, I guess. He was named a suspect earlier today, and the Twitter feeds went nutso, and everyone was like, you know, whatever. And, yeah, and then, you know, it was odd to, as a media professional who was sort of covering the story, because, you know, I had talked to some local promoters and musician types who had interacted with Kai.
He actually had a show here.
Yeah, he had a show at Starline, and he was played at on a benefit concert at Fulton 55, where he, you know, was sort of acting a fool, and to the point where, you know, some of the musicians that were playing in the backing band like walked off stage and whatever. And so you know, I was covering the story for the paper in terms of, like, you know, people who interacted with him when he was in town, what were their takes and whatnot. And it was just, it was really interesting to watch it all unfold, because you know, I mean, this guy, you want to just laugh at him, you know, originally. Mm-hmm. But he definitely had a some sort of persuasive power in his messaging. The message of, like, love and, like,
yeah,
you know, acceptance of people, no matter where they're from, who they are, like, whatever. You just, hey, we all are in a harmony kind of thing. But at the same time, he's crazy. And he may have, I mean, we know that he hatcheted someone in the head and was totally okay with it.
Yeah.
So
he did do that in defense of somebody else, but still.
But still he did it.
He did it.
So, you know, going from there, is it a jump to say that he could? And then there was this whole thing, I don't know if you saw, I'm not sure if it's his Facebook page, it was under his name, but a Facebook page sort of attributed to him this post about, and I mean, it was just insane, but essentially saying, like, you know, what would you do if you woke up and realized you had been mouth raped, essentially? What would you do? ... You know, and so it led a lot. And this, it was posted, you know, maybe a day before this alleged incident that, uh-huh, that he had been arrested for. So, who knows, really, what will end up with it, but it was definitely interesting to see it unfold.
Yeah, I mean,
that is really all you could say about it, you know.
That's all I have to say.
But you know, I mean, in some respects, it's you have to wonder. Is it really that is it that surprising?
No, I mean,
you know,
obviously the guy wasn't well mentally, I think, before that, this murder accusation happened.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, who knows? I mean, the stories I hear from the Fresno shows is pretty, pretty, you know, pretty weird. So,
and you want to, you want to give him the benefit of the doubt because that's sort of what we do. Well, I'd like to think that's not really actually what we do, but I'd like to think that's what we do. It's give people the benefit of the doubt and guilty until proven innocent and all that stuff. And so it's been interesting to just see like people kind of pile on all of these sort of accusations and, you know, everyone thinks they know something now. But
yeah, right.
So that was happening.
And so did he actually do some couch surfing while he was in Fresno?
Yeah, yeah.
And so people...
I believe that he stayed at the Cafe Info Shop down in Chinatown.
Oh, okay.
You know, and that's sort of...
I believe that.
Being
in there a couple
times. And I mean, that's sort of what they do is you know, have people like that come through and and so that could make sense. But yeah, he definitely couch surfed a bit in town and you know, I think he stayed with some people and you know, but there were some people who really reached out and were trying to legitimately help this guy I think, you know, including the couple who created the Facebook page, you know, the like page for him. And I think they were legitimately trying to help this guy, and they hooked him up with Patrick and got him on that benefit show. Excuse me, and all that. And I think they're pretty bummed that like he turned out to be such a you know.
I think what kind of besides being how unique and funny his interview was initially when the whole his first incident here in Fresno happened is like when he ended it off. And he mentioned his family and friends and I forget his actual quote, but paraphrasing, saying like they don't care what doing or they're not looking for him. And, but now I kind of realize maybe there was a reason why they weren't looking for him.
Yeah, that very well could be, yeah. So it'll be interesting to follow the story in the next little bit and also to see, you know, what, because the local media really played it up big, you know, like
all the TV outlets have jumped
and so it'll be interesting to see how they follow up on this. So there it is, right. Kai, that's the Kai news, that's all we know about it so far.
I think that's probably gonna be all we're gonna see now.
He was arrested.
He's probably not going anywhere anytime soon.
So moving on.
All right,
moving on.
Well, mentioning Starline, there's some Starline update. We talked about the story before.
Yeah, we talked about this time a little bit, and I kind of followed up, and it is there's a all new Starline with a new new ownership, a new vision for what the place can be, and I went out there this evening actually and chatted with the new owners, and they have a good crew of guys there who I think are really gonna move it back. And you know, they say they have a new vision for the place, but it's like the new vision is kind of what the old vision was, you know. When the I don't know, like, you probably remember when the Starline was like the venue. And it was the place that people wanted to play. You were a local band, you wanted to play at the Starline. And you know, the out of town acts, that's where they were going, is to play at Starline. And so I think with this new crew, and it includes several people, but, you know, Jason Pistoresti from Sugar Hill, he has a tattoo parlor there right around the corner, I think. And Eddie Numbskull, Numbskull Productions, and some others. But I think they really have a good lock on, you know, what it takes to make a venue work. And so I think they're going to do it right. And I'm really excited to see what they're going to do there. So
you have a nice little mix because now Jason is a musician and you have a promoter. And so you've got people that know what kind of works and what, even if they're not business people necessarily, they know what event works in a venue and, and stuff. So
yeah, and they're really, I think, you know, and they, I know, you get a sense that they're going to bring in a team. You know, they may not be there all the time in the day-to-day running. Let's say, you know, Eddie Numbskull isn't going to be, you know, booking the shows there and that sort of thing. He has a production company that he does himself, and he's booking shows all over the place, and will continue to do that. But they're going to be able to bring in a team that knows exactly, you know, what they're doing and who, you know, which acts are going to work for the market and all that stuff. And so, and they, you know, they're going to know what kind of venues bands want to play in. They're going to know.
Know what the bands know. Know what to, how to make the bands happy, and know how to make the patrons, the, you know, make it cool.
Bring the crowd.
I'm
looking
forward to that.
Yeah, and
they're,
so
they're doing some stuff in the Starline Grill as well. They're like,
I know they're going to be
going to be the same looking.
They're
going to
be reopening the Starline Grill, and the cool thing is, from everything that I've heard, you know, they're gonna work their best to make it 18 and over. You know.
Ooh. That's interesting.
So, and it probably won't be for every show,
right?
But there will be shows that will be 18 and over, which they can do because they have the grill.
Cool.
So that'll be really nice, and they're all very super excited. And I think their first kind of big show is Tower District benefit show. It's like a for the Neighborhood Watch or something down there. I don't, they they have a different name for it, but and I think that's next weekend. And you know, Mofo Party Band, I think, is gonna play some other big bands, and so that should be really cool, really good show. That's gonna be kind of the kickoff. They're sort of in that process of like honoring all of the commitments that the club had before.
Oh, okay.
So once those all run out, probably in early June, then we'll start seeing kind of the. But they've
their,
already
their influence.
Yeah, but they've already had a couple announced a couple of shows. Kevin Seconds from 7 Seconds is doing an acoustic set, and then Guttermouth and Agent Orange are playing in July, and then the guy from Mars Volta, I can't, Cedric, whatever, his new band is playing there maybe in August or something. So, or maybe before that, I can't
think
remember.
It was,
but,
I thought it was June, but maybe
it could be June. Yeah. So you know, we're gonna start to see the types of stuff that they're bringing in, and you know, I'm you're hopeful that they're gonna make sure that local acts are well represented as well. So
yeah, I think so.
But it'll be interesting to see what happens and how Fulton 55,
and
Audie's, but
Audie's, I think Audie's, being that the size of venue it is, doesn't hurt them too much.
Right.
But it's, but
and Audie's will have their
Audie's just
crowd
get,
anyway,
well,
no matter.
You know,
yeah,
he's got his ball. You know. He's got that thing over what Fulton 55 and Starline has, where it's open 7 days a week, regardless of the show.
Right, and they have regulars going in there all the time. So
and you know, there's a group that will just show up there, and just no matter what's playing, and just kind of like decide whether they want to go in or not. Maybe
Brian Kenny Fresno's there all the time, I think.
Yeah, so
which
I mean,
appreciate
they always. I think they've got Audie's has a model of. They can handle what Starline and Fulton 55 are doing. So.
Right.
But definitely, though, it makes you, you know, hope that both we can have both Fulton 55 right. and Starline going, functioning fully both together.
Yeah, at the same so. Time. And I mean, I think that there is enough. I think, well, now, I mean, right now it definitely seems like there's enough stuff coming through that, and I think
and
that.
Then, I mean, and then now we have Frank's place is pretty
is
active
true.
Too.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's right there in there with that mix.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of activity.
I know.
For similar sized venues.
Right. And so you hope it can all sustain, but I mean, I think Starline has a lot of things going for it. It's a great room. It has great sound. And, you know, for a long time, it was such a known quantity, yeah. you know.
I've always enjoyed the Starline's atmosphere yeah. probably the most. I mean, yeah. I've always wished their bar was bigger, but when they have it open up to the grill, it kind of makes right. that less relevant.
Well, they redid the bar some.
In
the Starline, oh. yeah. So I think it's probably going to operate a little better.
I wonder. I guess the only thing you could do is move it down, like make it bigger along the wall there.
Yeah, I think they removed that. They had like remember they had that middle kind of weird island thing in the middle of it. I think they pulled all that out and they rearranged some stuff. So
in the grill, or
I mean, in the Starline itself. Yeah. So. Yeah, so that's gonna be interesting. Again, interesting to see
yeah.
how that all
we'll be on it.
Starts coming out. But
nah.
I think very excited about it.
Well,
anyway,
let's go. Let's quickly go to the band of the week since we're
oh
on
you
music.
Want to talk, yeah since we're doing a little music
new album out from Before Perils
new album out from Before Perils yeah
Before
I think
Perils,
we're they're the album of the album. Band of the episode,
Before Perils.
Before Perils, and then we'll play a quick clip so you get an idea of what they're doing.
And we don't have Reed skills for this episode, in case you haven't noticed. Reed is on vacationing in Fresno, and he doesn't
and can't
have
help us.
He can't help. He's in Fresno, but can't help us make the podcast sound better, which I don't understand, Reed.
The irony there is
he has his equipment. In
right,
in another place. So anyway, before
yeah,
perils.
So before perils. There you go. So they have this new album coming out. It's a themed album. Each of the songs sort of plays into a theme that works throughout the whole thing, and they will be having a record release at the Tower Theater.
Wow, that's
on the.
Big time.
24th, I believe. I need to get that correct.
That would be a Friday, so that sounds right.
I'm going to make sure because
Memorial Day weekend.
I would hate to give people the wrong information
right,
here on.
Right.
But, you know, I've seen Before Perils, and we actually talked to them
yeah, I'm
on
that
the radio show, the KFSR radio show. And I was saying, you know, at Fuse Fest, they're the band that sort of everyone, at least that I hear, like that's the band everyone talks about from last year,
yeah,
you know? Instrumental band. Acoustic instrumental band. They're still sort of metal.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
They do have that kind of a little bit of a metal vibe to them.
Well, and the guitar player, you know what they started as a metal band essentially, and then sort of formed this acoustic sort of offshoot, and realized like, hey, this is really
maybe
cool.
This is better than the metal
band. And they made it work. So yeah, there it is. Before Perils, band of the episode. You should check them out. Yeah, they're on Facebook. You know, just search for Before Perils. And on to our next topic, man. We're kicking through them today.
You have something going on with the local radio station, Josh.
Oh, man. Okay.
One we talk about all the time.
Yeah, so we talk about KMJ all the time. Okay, so I guess stepping back, I should preface this by saying that I like talk radio.
Right.
And I like right-wing talk. I mean... I can't say necessarily I like it, but I like listening to right-wing talk radio, you know, especially local stuff. And so I have enjoyed in the past KMJ and listening to KMJ, and when I was in the car, you know, going from place to place, I would typically have KMJ on, and you know, I think they're choice of hosts, you know, Ray and Chris Daniel and Inga Barks and whatever. Good, you know, and I would listen to them and they talk about local stuff. And I have for the past probably almost close to 3 weeks, almost maybe a month, been on a KMJ fast.
Wow.
I've not listened to KMJ.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
What's going on? Did you give it up for Lent?
No. So it was the day that the NBA basketball player came out as being gay, and I can't think of his name right now, but you know, the story is out.
You know.
Yeah. And so all of the right wing people were doing this thing where they were making the connection, sort of trying to draw a parallel between the way that this guy was being treated as a hero and how Tim Tebow was being treated because he was a Christian. And because that same day he was released from his contract, whatever happened. I don't remember
Tebow
exactly.
The Jets probably released Tebow, I think.
And it was like on the same day. And so and so the right wingers were, you know, making this, like, trying to make this parallel about, like, hey, here's... And so Inga Barks was making, you know, these same sort of things, because that's what they do, is, you know, they all talk about the same, you know, there's one, like, topic, and then they all expound on it for the entire day. And she just started talking about how, you know, essentially saying that, drawing parallels and saying that it was easier... for this NBA star being gay than it was for Tim Tebow being a Christian. Like, it was easier for him to be a gay athlete than for Tim Tebow to be a Christian athlete, you know? And then drawing further comparisons and essentially saying that, you know, gays are persecuted less than Christians.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And at a certain point, I stopped. Pushed the button, and I said, "I will not listen to I cannot listen to KMJ anymore." And I haven't
KMJ.
Since that day.
See that your weak stuff you put out there with Inga Barks.
Yeah, it's finally kind of. I couldn't do it.
Lost a listener.
You lost at least one.
Yeah,
and I kind of want to talk about it more because I think, like, people should know, because I really do think if they. I don't want to say that I'm boycotting, and if they took her off the air, I would listen to her again. I would listen to them again. But it was a station that I enjoyed listening to, and I had on my radio, like, it was programmed in my radio.
Yeah.
And I listened to it fairly often. And because of that show and just the way that she carries herself, I won't listen to it anymore.
Yeah.
So... that's my KMJ story. And I mean, I don't know if you listen to KMJ.
I used to a a lot. I used to listen to Appleton a lot just because once in a while it was good for a blog post here and there.
Yeah.
To say, look at this stupid crap Appleton's talking about today. And then when Chris Daniel was on there too, his complete ignorance towards downtown is always hilarious.
Right.
And it was fun to make fun of that.
Right.
But then I just kind of, like, when I stopped blogging on the Fresno, then I kind of, like, I don't need to. And now that they don't have Friends of State Sports anymore, it's like, there's I have no use to listen to them
anymore. I find myself having less things to be mad at. So that's kind of,
there you go.
Part of it was that I was just like, I'm tired of just being mad about stuff all the time, you know?
Did you ever listen to the Gin Lip, that morning show with Gin Lip and Broski?
Sometimes, but not very often because I typically, you know, the only time I'm listening to it
that's any good.
Was in my car, and I really didn't get around to it all that often. But, you know, I did listen to it sometimes, and I thought it was okay. I mean, they at least were, it wasn't so vile, you know?
Right.
And that's, I think, the problem that I just had with the Inga Bark show wasn't, like, you know, her stance on various subjects or whatever, because, you know, I like to hear the other side of whatever. I mean, I think there's something nice about hearing the other side of the argument and then having to really think it through, like, okay, are they making a good point? If they're not making a good point, why? But Inga, she's just a vile person. And so you can't, I mean, there's not, at a certain point, you're just like, well, you're just being a terrible person about this.
Throwing crap at the wall because you're on the radio.
And it wasn't even like,
like drawing this weakest parallel ever.
Well, and then, you know, it's like this sort of thing where she's like, you know, I don't begrudge gay people anything, but, and then she goes into this whole thing about, and it's like, wait a second.
I'm curious, you know? Because Ree Appleton has a gay son,
uh-huh,
and he's been upfront with, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't use the term upfront about it, but for a you know, somebody conservative like that, I would think that you would think they would try to hide it or something.
Uh-huh.
So I would be interested to hear what his take would be on what Inga is saying.
Yeah,
having somebody on the same station who's also conservative,
right? Yeah,
but I believe he's. It seems like from what I've heard, like because of his son, he's pretty more open to the gay culture and not so. Like in line with the Republicans, Christian Republican side. So I would be weird to, I wonder if that pissed him off.
I don't know. You should, that would be, see, and I wouldn't know either because I haven't listened to the station since then.
And there's nobody telling us.
I know. I get, and I don't, and I really don't think I will. I have found myself listening to whatever the station that picked up all of KMJ's.
You're listening to that syndicated conservative stuff?
Mainly because they have Coast to Coast AM. So
okay.
That's the reason I tuned into it in the first place. And so there you go.
It was interesting to see that I think in the last ratings that Rick Bentley posted that KMJ didn't get hurt real, real bad.
No, they moved back up a little bit. Yeah. Yeah,
that's.
But I'm still in the market for a good talk, like local talk radio.
Well,
something.
Yeah, if you're not into sports, then there's not a whole lot out.
Maybe
there
I
for
gotta
you.
Get into sports.
The local talk radio is pretty much mostly sports.
Yeah. Well, I'll listen to podcasts.
That's really the only local radio I listen to anymore. Yeah, is sports. Like Tony D. And, you know, and that's about it. And I listen to podcasts all day.
There you go. I guess that's where it's moving to. So radio, suck it.
Yeah.
Podcast, here we come.
Look on dorktownpodcast.com and look at the podcast ratings. I listen to all that stuff on that thing.
Awesome.
It's like 50 podcasts I listen to.
I'm going to have to start picking it up, yeah. Okay, so there it is. Local. That was our local radio segment. Moving on.
Yeah. Well, anytime you want us to talk about some local radio thing, tell us, like, hey, check these guys out and then talk about them.
Oh, yeah. That'd be, yeah.
What's a continuing story that keeps
unfolding? Going?
The Measured G.
Measured G.
The garbage.
So first,
the garbage measure.
Let me tell you a little auxiliary story to Measure G. So
it's hard to say Measure G.
Yeah. So I wrote this column in the paper last week. I don't know if you saw it, about litter. Did you see it?
Okay. I saw it.
So
every Friday in the Fresno Bee.
Yeah, so I have a column on the Friday of the Fresno Bee, and I've done it for several weeks. Recently, I've started picking up litter. It's a weird thing, but I started doing it. Anyway, you'd have to read the story to understand why. But so I started picking
other people's trash. Creeps me the hell out, and I cannot touch it. So good on you for doing that.
So I've started doing it, and I thought it was interesting that, like, while the city is having this whole, like, Measure G thing about their trash, like, I'm having this, like, my own, like,
you're having
thing,
your own meltdown.
Like, meltdown about picking other people's trash. So I wrote this column about it, and of all of the stuff that I've written so far, this is the one that people seem to, like, really have taken to. Like, I wrote the column, and that morning, so this was last Friday, I come into the office, I have 4 emails and a phone call.
Yeah.
By the end of the day, it was like, you know, half a dozen emails from people like, thanks so much for writing this. This is such a great, like, whatever. So apparently litter is a big problem.
It's
a dirty ass place.
Look on 41, man. 41 and 99 get trashed.
Yeah. I can't even... And every time I walk to work now, it's like I have to...
Uh-oh.
I mean,
Josh,
I really
need some psychological help. Maybe
I have to, like,
you might start. You might start rabbit holing and just
seriously. I have to stop myself. Like, I'll see stuff and I'll be like, I can't pick that. I can't because where am I? You know, I'm like,
where
I have arms full of trash. It's like, do I start walking?
You're gonna be becoming that guy,
right?
You're gonna become that guy.
This is what I'm afraid of.
Always has trash on him and looking for trash cans.
And so I'm afraid. Like, I'm not gonna start walking around with a trash bag all the time. But that's what I feel
George
like.
George Hostetler is walking around with his hat, wandering around downtown, and you're wandering around downtown with trash around
this
you.
Is what,
once in a while, you guys bump into man, each other. Hey, George. Hey, Josh.
This is what's happening to me. Anyway, so Measure G, tell me about it. What's happening
with
Measure G?
I don't know. We talked about this before we started recording. I don't know which way. I don't know.
Right.
It's Measure G, and... I don't know which is the yes or no.
I don't. Yeah. Even if I understood,
is it yes for unions? Okay. Keeping the same trash, or is it no for? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what it is.
It's so very confusing.
And what?
I mean, I suppose if you read the literature that has come in your mailbox.
Yeah. Well, who's gonna
or whoever's mailbox? It will say, but. I'm just very confused. I see the signs, and it's like no on G, and I don't know. I'm like, well, am I for that?
I don't know.
So,
I've gone back and forth on the issue.
Yeah.
At first, I was like, no, screw that. I'm a union guy. Leave the trash guys alone. Find the money somewhere else. Right. And then after a while, I was like, yeah, whatever. Just do it or don't do
it.
Let's get it over with. Is going to continue to get picked up regardless. Let's just get it over with. And so I was kind of sort of siding on the side of the city at that point because budgeting is so tough.
I mean,
and then now that I'm starting to see the Measure G ads, now I'm sort of back on I'm back on the garbage guys.
Oh no. Okay. Again. I haven't seen any of the ads.
Because all I've seen is the pro privatizing garbage,
which could be no, it could be yes. We're not sure.
I'm not sure which is yet, but I've seen the pro privatizing commercial with and this is what's weird. Chief Dyer is like, hey,
Chief Jerry Dyer of the Fresno Police Department
is, hey, let's vote for privatizing.
Yes or no, we don't know. Okay,
and I'm like, this is pretty weird because the police department's a union,
right?
They're getting paid by the city employees that have a union, and here is this guy who's in the strongest, you know, department.
Right.
Department that every time there's a budget crisis,
right,
the first thing that is said is, well, we're the police and fire, right, police and fire.
Right,
hey,
right.
Hey, if you guys take money, police and fire, we right. might lose a couple right. police officers. And he's going against right. another city union.
Right.
And unions are pretty strong togetherness right. of supporting other unions, because we all know that everyone tries to crap on unions all the time.
Right, yeah.
So all we have is ourselves. So it's pretty weird
that a
city union employee. I don't know. Actually, I don't know if Dyer may be salary, but I don't know. But probably not. Usually, a supervisor right. boss is salary and not part of the union.
Well, but still, I mean, you would think that he would be supportive of the police.
Yeah. It's kind of weird
that is weird.
I'm thinking like
maybe
the mayor's like, "Hey, buddy, we're gonna lay off some people. You
could
get
next.
Out there and start shilling
right.
for this Measure G."
Well, I mean, here's the truth about it. You know, they could privatize the police force. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it is something.
What would happen if
that could happen?
If there was
so.
The head of the garbage department was like, "Hey, we need to privatize.
We need
police.
To privatize. Yeah,
so."
Very Blackwater
is that
right here.
Is that exists a private police department for a city?
I don't know. Probably. I hear Blackwater would probably do it.
Blackwater.
Probably,
oh man, they clean that shit up.
I don't think
Blackwater could handle Fresno games.
Didn't they do that in New Orleans? They showed up and
did they? And
I think
shit
during
ass
yeah
and like,
during Katrina,
hey, everybody sell the hell.
They
down.
Were like, hey now,
Blackwater, we don't mess around.
Yeah. Maybe
don't
that's
play by rules.
Maybe that's something to think about.
Yeah, I don't know.
If I were the garbage union, I'd be contacting Blackwater right now.
There
hey,
you
what do you think?
What would it cost for you guys to come in?
That is really interesting. That the Chief Dyer and being that I know that I think that the police union and the city, you know, haven't always seen eye to eye on.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anytime things, there's. So. A contract time or whatever, whenever the city comes to the police department and say we need to cut back on their
right.
salaries. So I don't know.
Yeah.
That's pretty weird.
Well, I mean, it is, I think those are the things that like a city needs to, you know, it's like road maintenance and streetlights and stuff, which you can see how well that's done. And then cops and the fire department.
Yeah.
You know. So, all right. We'll continue
maybe my next podcast. I don't know when this will get worked out. I don't understand.
Yeah. Well, let's we'll do a little bit of research, and maybe next time we could come in and we can actually sit down and tell people one way or another,
yeah.
yes or no.
What is, you know? Yes and what is,
yeah,
no?
Yeah, and kind of, and give people our interpretation, yeah. of what where how they should vote. Okay.
All right. Moving to another topic.
We need topic music.
Topic music.
Bumper music.
Reed, get
each,
on that.
Each topic.
Reed's not there.
Womp,
damn
womp.
It.
Can you add a womp womp noise?
I'll try to find it.
Mike, I know Reed, and you are
you're no Reed, sir. Another continuing story.
So many
the
of these
medical
things.
School
oh,
being built in Fryant.
Yeah.
And everyone's saying, like, why aren't you building it downtown,
right,
guys?
Right, right.
And they're like, we don't want to.
Essentially. And here's the, so the developing news is that it came before the city council, and the entire city council, all of them, just, they agreed to sort of back the plan,
which is just the weirdest,
you know?
Thing I've ever heard.
Not a single one, not one of what are they, six districts, not one councilman would even stand up just to be like, you know, I understand this isn't gonna help at all. Like, I'm not, but just to put it on record,
yeah.
no
I wanted it downtown,
right? Even District 3, you know, District 3 downtown,
yeah.
No,
well, yeah, what is up with that? That is weird.
You know, and even the Fresno Bee, you know, my employer, just to throw that out there, you know, the editorial board came out with their, opinion on this, and they essentially said the same thing. It's like, you know, It's time to move on from this, you know. And there are other things that
we barely fought against it, and they're already saying to move on.
And to me, I think that's the sad thing about it. And that's the reason that we have so many of the problems that we've had, that we have now, is because no one ever put up the big fight. And essentially, at some point, you have to do that. You know, at some point, you have to say, you know, we may not win this, but like, we at least have to stand up and fight, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's been downtown's problem since the beginning. And whether or not this school happened downtown, I don't think that's really important. But the important thing would be, you know, that the city council gets behind the city, which is the mayor, and says, yeah, we think Fresno, we think downtown Fresno is important, important enough that we want this school to be here, and we're not going to support it going someplace else.
It's I didn't look too deeply into why the council voted to support it moving out there. I would assume that that was like meaningless anyway, whether they voted no or yes. I don't understand why.
Right. I mean, I don't understand why they would
vote yes. I understand, maybe they because the Yosemites have done a lot of good with the building they've done.
Right. Right.
All the buildings they've. The lofts they put in downtown. So I guess they're not wanting to piss them off because they're afraid they won't build more lofts.
Maybe that's it. I mean, I know.
I don't understand any other reason to say, yeah, it's cool if they build out in Fryant.
Well, I think they a lot of them voted yes because they couldn't find a good reason to say no. You know, and that one of the quotes in the story was great because they were like, well, and I can't remember what council member was quoted, but he essentially said, like, you know, we don't get to tell them where they can build, something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. That might not be a direct quote, but it was something that thing, that effect. And my thought was like, well, no, you kind of can, you know. It's like
you can help them. You can make a spot in downtown more. Look better to them.
I think we had somebody from, I don't even know if I want to say,
I probably shouldn't say his name because he may not want to mention who it was that said this, but that there is a city property in the downtown area that has plenty of land for this place that would have worked for them.
I think that they gave them, I think the city gave them several options, you know, and from what I've heard, there are many hospitals in the area that are now abandoned that could could have been rehabbed for use. You know, I think the problem is that that Granville owned that space and they didn't want to do it any other way.
They have empty lot that they can build according to spec, and so it's not
so much that they can't do it downtown. It's just they simply don't want to.
Yeah,
you know, because even in the story, they're like, you know, we look for available space, we couldn't find available space, and figuring out how to get different lands put together would take 4 to 5 years, mm-hmm. and that's not within the timeline that they're looking at or mm-hmm. whatever. And so it's like, okay,
but you know. I at first glance, that statement, you want to say, oh, okay, but then it doesn't smell right because it was so quick. You get the idea that they didn't do any searching.
Right,
they're just
right.
like, this is what they're saying. Right. Well, you know, we couldn't find space enough that we want the way we wanted to build it.
Right.
And like, okay, it seems like you looked about 10 minutes maybe, right. and you're like, well, it looks like we can't be all the...
Right.
Oh, it looks we have all the space out in front that we happen to have.
Well, and the thing that really gets me, and the thing that should worry Granville some, is that, like, you know, they're building all of these apartments and things downtown, and at the same time, they're saying that they don't really see downtown as viable for like future developments.
Right. And it's weird that they, you would that's somebody that would live in those lofts. Somebody right. going to that school.
That's exactly
would live
right.
in those lofts. So right. it just they would just be able to walk to
right.
the school.
And now they may still live in those lofts, but they're going to commute.
Now they're
going
to drive out to Friant.
And so
one of the more, I mean, they just had a big fatal fatality on Friant. I mean, that's basically Fresno's Blood Alley is Friant to Friant.
There you
Road
go.
Out there.
Well, good. Now at least there'll be a medical facility training facility.
I mean, it's. I don't mean to be glib about it.
No,
but somebody's
yeah.
gonna die
yeah.
driving out to that medical school.
Well, and I mean, I don't know.
It's
there's so many reasons that it is just very representative of the way that we have done things for so long. It's more of the same, and I thought we were moving a little bit in the other direction, and so it seems like, you know, like we took two steps forward and we're like, yeah, and then mm-hmm. someone like pushed us three steps back and we're like, whoa.
It's very worrisome because like, yeah, what you're getting as like Fresno finally, the city of Fresno has finally got a mentality as we are not growing out anymore.
Right.
We're done growing out. And, now we see that's harder to control than
right.
just saying we're not growing out because
right.
you're going to have Madera County has been hounding to get
Fresno County,
to
Madera
get that
County, yeah.
rolling hills yeah. out that all that area out off of 41 past the river developed.
Right.
And that's probably going to happen eventually one day.
Right.
Now that all the stuff's happening in Friant, that's just going to keep getting bigger until it touches
yep.
Fresno
well,
and Friant.
And
come together.
And someone made this comment, and, you know, Granville also owns space. You know, they're putting that farm out where I'm not sure if it's Granville, and I shouldn't say that. But, you know, they're involved with some of that space that used to be Running Horse.
Right.
You know, and that's
people are like, well,
wide open land that possibly could make, you know.
Yeah, they could build how they want to build.
So, I don't know. It's a very sad, and you know, I know a lot of people. Our friend Blake Jones was really angry about it, like out, you know, these like
and another thing he was upset about, but he was also like kind of moving on from too is how Cedar Lanes is becoming Walmart.
Yeah, Cedar Lanes,
which is like the ultimate like kick in the face. Like Cedar Lanes is
okay.
Closing.
It's becoming a Walmart market. Just
yeah.
So, just
well, that's
so that
to me.
Okay.
That's worse. That's more offensive.
Oh yeah,
because that's not what they're a They should be a department
right,
store.
Right.
And I know Target is doing the same thing where they have groceries right. in there now. And being an ex-grocery man for 11 years, that just pisses me off at department stores.
Right.
Like, oh.
Starting to do groceries.
Doing groceries.
Yeah.
And so that's just annoying as hell to me that
yeah.
Walmart has a grocery store.
Yeah.
And then it just, you know, this is such a, like, a kind of tragedy, kind of generation losing thing that Cedar Lanes closes. And it's
and
just.
They're going to put
it
in
it could
this.
You could not imagine a more iconically worse thing retail
right.
thing to put in there.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. Yeah.
But, oh well.
But and it all makes you wonder, like, man, we're all we're here like trying to fight the good fight, and at every turn, it's easy to get jaded. I'll tell you what.
Yeah,
yeah. But we're not.
What are you gonna do?
We're not gonna
that
be
new,
jaded.
The new development out there, Marketplace at El Paseo.
Oh yes,
Herndon and. And
uh-huh.
99 out there.
Uh-huh.
That's they're grading and that's
Common
that's happening.
Uh-huh. See? Yeah.
So that and
just
that's
keep...
further I mean, at least that's already was in city limits. It's just been sitting there, you know, an old fig orchard forever.
Right. Yeah.
And I always kind of dreamed that spot would just turn back into some sort of farming because that is happening around the valley
mm-hmm.
where because farmland has become so valuable that you know, you're seeing land that was dead for a long time.
Yeah,
being actually
planted
again.
Yeah,
and I was hoping that would happen there, but you know, but the charm sure is happening, and I'll probably use it because I drive by it going
every,
to work every
yeah,
day.
Every day. Yeah.
So I, you know, I guess that's hypocritical. I don't know,
that's
but the, if it's already
the
there, what
part.
The hell?
Right.
I'm gonna use it, but I don't like it going in. But
right.
I'll use it.
But I'll be there every other week. Yeah. Same thing with that medical facility. I mean, as soon
yeah.
as it's in, I'm going to go and sign up.
I'm going to go there and enjoy my drive up Friant Road.
I'm going to become a
I'm like, this is a nice drive.
Pharmacy tech or whatever they whatever they're doing there. That's I'm gonna change career paths because now the place is here.
Yeah.
So, all right. Is there anything? What else do we have, man? We've been we've hit some big stuff here today.
I think we're at our time.
But that's it.
It's time to plug it up.
Let's plug it up. Oh, there's I don't know how the plug music goes. wow. Well, let's go ahead and start. I know you probably have some things that you'd like to.
You know, the classic. Our other podcast,
Dorktown.
This is the Dorktown.
Uh-huh. What's going on with what's going on with Dorktown?
Oh, you know, we're cruising along. Yeah. We're doing good. Doing our thing. We're stealing from other podcasts now. That's going to be our
new
theme
thing
for a while.
Cool.
We're just going to, because nobody gives a crap.
What are you going to steal
podcast
from Famous?
Nothing.
There's nothing to steal.
I don't need to. We're stealing.
We steal from Dorktown. So.
Yeah, no. Oh, Dorktown's so flowing with Famous. Birth Dorktown,
yeah.
So that will always be. Flowing with Famous is maybe the oldest podcast in existence because we talked about this on Dorktown. How you know we've been at Dorktown, we're hitting our 8-year anniversary.
Dang, yeah,
and we've been podcasting for 8 years. Flowing with Famous, even though there was a long hiatus,
right?
Flowing with Famous has been going for 8.5 years already. Wow. I think it was October of 2004.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That Flowing with Famous started. Reed will have to correct me or not correct me, but I think 2004 it was fun. And when podcasting started.
Yeah, right.
Basically,
nobody even knew what it was.
2004 podcasting started. So, yeah. And I don't know of
cutting
any,
edge.
I don't know of an older podcast than those Dorktown and Flowing with Famous. Not locally. I mean, anywhere. So I don't know.
Yeah. We should check that out because that would be cool to, you know, post on our website. And then Perfect Pour, what's going on with the beer podcast?
We're doing good at that. That's starting to take off.
Yeah.
The episode 12, we had, I think I talked about this a little bit last time on the phone, but we had Tommy from Pendragon Brewing, new brewery that's going to be going in the north end there. He's going to have a tap room at... Willow and Niece.
Great.
And that's going to happen in the summer. But we talked to him on 12. And then on 13, we talked to a somewhat famous beer blogger in the Bay Area.
Nice. I saw that, yeah.
And so we're getting out there in the craft beer scene.
What, speaking of craft beer, the Fresno Craft Brew Festival in Madera.
Yeah.
Did you go?
I didn't go, and Nick didn't go either.
No one went.
I had to work that day, and it was the day before Mother's Day. After work, I had to go get Mother's Day gifts, and I just couldn't make it out there.
The whole thing. Yeah.
But there was that whole controversy because it's technically in Madera County, even though it's one exit past Fresno.
Right.
And they kind of marketed it bad.
They were shit-talking
Fresno. Yeah, they took a couple shots at Suds in the City and Fresno in general.
Which is not cool.
No, that's they made a bad call there. So that kind of sucked because I was actually still going to make an effort to go, because it is on my way home from work because I work in Madera. So I was like, well, I'll go check it out for a couple hours. And then after that kind of thing, I was like, now I'm not so fired up to go anymore. Yeah. But
it I don't know. I didn't go, and I haven't heard anyone who went.
I've heard that it was okay. I mean, it was a first time thing, so I never expect much when any kind of thing that starts its first thing. And I guess it was mildly okay, so we'll see if it comes back next year.
Yeah.
I hear the Visalia one that happened the same day was pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, I mean, it sort of makes sense, Visalia tends to do things a little
better. Sometimes.
I mean,
sometimes.
To start things out. So, okay, so you got those to plug.
Yeah.
I don't have much to plug.
When's El Grobac playing next?
We have a show coming up, but it'll probably be... It's coming up on Monday the 20th, so it'll be this won't be out by then. After that, not much, a whole lot going on. There's the Fresno Covers Fresno compilation that's coming out in June, and we'll have a release party for that, and there'll be a lot of information
coming on. The dates for Fuse Fest out.
We can plug the Fuse Festival. That's going to be on September 20th and 21st in downtown Fresno.
Yeah.
And that's going to be really exciting.
Friday night's going to be at Fulham 55.
Fulham 55 as soon as we confirm and Saturday they sound night, good with it.
Saturday night. All about Warner's, Fresno Brewing Company, and then Tokyo.
Yeah, that whole area. So I think it's going to be really exciting. You know, we're going to have, it's going to be a whole crap load of good bands again and, that sort of thing. So, and then, you know, as always, you can catch my blog over at the Fresno Beehive and I have my column in the paper on Friday and radio online. Show. And I have the radio show on KFSR Mondays, 6 to 7 PM, the local show. I hope that's it.
You have a better podcast or a better, co-host over
better
there.
Jamie
Holt.
Yeah, when she's there or when I'm there.
Yeah, you guys can't.
We did a good that. Like kind of 3 or 4 episode run, and then you know, things kind of got crazy. I was sick this Monday, and she's gone next Monday, and some. But we're there every
six
Monday.
To seven just, Mondays, KFSR.
Lots of good local
all
music.
All kinds of local music.
Including Before Perils, the band of the episode. So we'll probably, we had them on last week, I think, or the week before. And they played a song and we chatted with Jonathan. And we'll continue to do that kind of cool stuff. So
find Flowing With Famous on Podbean.
Flowingwithfamous.podbean.
That's where the feed comes from.
Nice.
You look for us on iTunes if you're listening in another way.
Stitcher,
give us a rate and review on iTunes.
Nice.
And if you're on Stitcher, give it a thumbs up.
Good.
You can email me, thefresnan@gmail.com.
And you can email, you can't email me. You can find me. Go to the Beehive.
Yeah,
you'll find me.
You go to the Beehive and leave a comment on
One of my things.
And we're on Twitter @flowingwithpod.
Yeah. Well, thanks everyone for listening. And we will be back talking about all things.
And Reed will be back too. We're making this sound way better than this one did. Damn it, Reed. No more time off for you, Reed.
No more vacations.
No more Fresno vacations for you, buddy.
Go.